Jack Daniels whiskey at 1.5 is how the folks around here have been living their lives. Waking and baking every morning at 8.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Century Technologies text line 251-343-0106. I see him waiting there. Don and unnamed texter, we'll get to you on the other side. But joining us now on the program, a friend of the program, always very kind to come on and make time for this show, State Senator Will Barfoot from Pike Road, but also chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Fine. Jeff, I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you today.
Hey, the pleasure's ours. You have been particularly busy, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but every time we get one of these lawmakers, I don't normally get to talk to on a regular basis. On how's the session going? Chairmanship, you've taken on a full load here.
Yeah, it's been a little different this time around. You know, the first quadrennium, I had the opportunity to serve as vice chair under Senator Ward, Cam Ward, and then when he left to go to the Board of Pardons and Paroles, Senator Whatley assumed that spot. And so I had an opportunity, I guess, to kind of look and learn and watch, you know, how they ran the committee and, you know, try and do the best job with it I can. The Judiciary Committee is a difficult committee. Lots of bills come through there and lots of varying opinions on some of the legislation we look at, but overall, we're doing a good job.
Well, the first big one is probably our listeners are well aware of it because of the Alabama Appleseed campaign. The driver's license forgiveness bill. You explained it so well the other night with Todd, and I wanted to get you all to kind of explain it to our audience a little bit, but. Essentially, it comes off their portrayal of it as if it's just a free pass for not paying your traffic fines, but there's a whole lot more to it. Just kind of walk us through what the objective here is with at least your bill.
Sure. I'll start off by saying that there is no free pass, that all court costs, fines, and fees that are ordered by a court are due to be paid, and an individual who accumulates those is responsible for and has to pay those. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, let me talk about what it doesn't do. So I'll talk about current law. So if you receive a speeding ticket or running a stop sign ticket, for instance, you don't show up for court on your initial court date, current law allows the court to issue a warrant for your arrest because you haven't showed up for court. And once they get you in, well, as a matter of fact, they can suspend your driver's license initially. This does not change any of that. So you get a ticket, you have to show up for court at your first court appearance or before your trial date or on your trial date. And if you fail to do that, you can still have a warrant issued for your arrest, and your license can still be suspended. So the only thing, two things that it changes. Post-adjudication, in other words, after you've either pled guilty or had a trial and were found guilty on a traffic citation, the court may order you to pay court costs and fines. And typically the courts will set a review date for you to come back to make sure that that court cost or fine has been paid, or they may even set you on a payment plan to make regular payments. Well, if you miss one post-adjudication review date, court date, the court currently has the ability to issue a warrant for your arrest and suspend your license. This bill just says you still have the power to issue an arrest warrant for them if they miss the first court appearance date or one post-adjudication date, but you can't suspend that person's license unless they miss two or more post-adjudication dates. And then the second thing it does is that scenario where you may be on a payment plan, and courts around the state do that because court costs and fees and fines are so high now, quite honestly. If they put you on a payment plan and you fail to make six or more payments on that payment plan, they can also suspend your license, but they couldn't do it if you miss one, two, three, four, or five. You have to miss more than six for that license to be suspended. Now, current law is, and it would remain the case, that if you miss one payment, two payments, five, 10, 20, whatever amount, a judge could bring you back into court and say, Mr. Poor, you've missed a payment or 20 payments or whatever. Why have you missed those payments? And if you didn't have a good response in the judge's mind, that a good reason or rationale, they could hold you in contempt and give you 5 days in jail. That's the law now, and that would remain the law. So we're only talking about suspension of licenses in those two cases, post-adjudication, if you only miss one court date or if you miss less than six payments, then your license wouldn't be able to be suspended.
So you're still under the threat of jail time if a judge so chooses, but it just keeps the driver's license valid or not suspended, I should say.
That's correct. Just gives a little bit of grace. You know, sometimes we get busy in life and we forget about court dates. Again, you know, the judge still has the ability, if you don't show up for court on your post-adjudication court date, or even on the first one, to issue a warrant and come down there to the radio station and pick you up and bring you in. That doesn't change. It's just, we're not going to suspend your license the first time you missed a post-adjudication court date.
And I know a lot of people, the AL.com story about Brookside, I mean, I know that is an extreme circumstance, but you look at the municipal court, the little municipal court there in Brookside, and like a line wrapped around a block, right? And I would have to assume the fear is, you know, losing maybe you want to challenge it or contest it, but you get there and, oh, wow, I don't have time to go through this. And they can suspend your driver's license for that. I mean, there's all these abuses. Castleberry down my way, the famous for this over the last 50, 60 years, but just where you have the local traffic cop or whatever, the speed trap, abusing the system in some ways.
Yeah, that's true. Let me touch on one other thing that I didn't. I don't know how much time we've got.
Yeah, plenty of time.
Well, one other thing that I certainly have not done a good job of explaining this portion of the bill, but under current law, if you go down to court today, and this has nothing to do with the actual suspension of your license, this is a little bit different in the bill, but if you go to court today and you plead guilty on a moving violation, you know, there are points assessed that ALEA assesses to your driving record. You know, I don't know off the top of my head what a speeding ticket would be, but let's use that as an example. Well, you would think that when you go down and you plead guilty, if you have a trial and you're found guilty, that courts would wait 14 days because you have a 14-day right of appeal from a municipal court or district court up to circuit court, that they'd wait those 14 days and then send that notice to ALEA to say, hey, Jeff got this ticket and you can assess points on his record. Well, some courts are doing that, but other courts are actually waiting until you get through paying your ticket. So you may be on a payment plan and you may be paying that ticket for 2 years. You never missed a payment. You never missed a court date. And then all of a sudden, when you make your last payment, those courts are sending that as a conviction to ALEA. Well, I don't think that's fair to the driver, right? That's having their points assessed to them 2 years after the fact. And it's not fair to the other citizens of the state of Alabama, because maybe your license should have been suspended because of those points that were assessed, because you're not a safe driver. So this bill actually mandates that 14 days after a conviction, and it sets what a conviction is, in other words, you either plead guilty or have a trial and found guilty, and your appeal time is run, that court is supposed to notify ALEA so that those points, if any, can be assessed immediately rather than years on down the road potentially.
Senator, do you have any idea how many people this would impact? I mean, so this law passes, the governor signs it. Do we have a roundabout estimate, ballpark figure?
No, I wish I did. I've heard numbers out there, and I don't remember what they are, first of all, and I'm not sure I'm not sure how accurate they are. But the truth of the matter is, we've got a workforce issue. There are some folks out there that drive knowing their licenses are suspended and, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things. But there are folks out there who one of the impediments to getting in the workforce is the lack of a driver's license. There are places certainly here in Montgomery and around the state where, you know, you have to have a license to get on the facility. Hyundai, for instance, here in Montgomery, I understand you can't even get on the grounds there without a license. So it's, I think it does have a direct impact on the economy when we've got workforce issues.
Joined by State Senator Will Barfoot here on the program. Senator, a couple other things to get to. One you've been working on here the last few days, and just kind of coincidental timing, if you will. But your anti-gang crime bill, that it's an interesting concept. That if you commit some kind of crime and it's associated with gang activity, then there's different penalties on the way potentially.
Yeah, that's right. And so that bill, actually, there's three parts of that as well. You know, there was a lot of pushback or discussion in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and you know, some things that just were not accurate, you know, as it relates to the bill. The first thing is if you commit a criminal offense, a felony, and you are proven beyond a reasonable doubt to have committed that. In other words, you have a trial or else you plead guilty to that underlying offense. And if you're proven beyond a reasonable doubt to be a member of a gang, then there's an enhancement. In other words, a Class D felony, you would be sentenced like it's a Class C. If the underlying offense were a Class C felony, it's enhanced to, you'd be sentenced like a Class B and so forth. So one step up enhancement. If you're found guilty of the underlying felony offense and it's proven beyond a reasonable doubt that you are a member of a gang, that's part one of the bill. The second piece of that puzzle is that if you are involved in criminal activity, in other words, commit a criminal offense that promotes or benefits a gang, whether or not you're a gang member or not, and you possess a firearm during that felony commission of a felony offense, proven beyond a reasonable doubt that you've committed the underlying felony and that you possessed a firearm during that offense, there is an automatic 5 years consecutive penalty put on you. If you brandish that weapon during that event, in other words, wave it around, pull it, there's a mandatory 7 years consecutive sentence. And then if you use that firearm during the commission of that felony offense, there's a mandatory 10 years that's consecutive. And so, and that's not a new idea. I mean, other states have anti-gang laws in place. I mean, heck, even some of the liberal states have that in place. The federal government has those types of enhancements on drug cases. And so we're just trying to incorporate that into the law in Alabama. And then the third thing it does, and this, you know, unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of this is, you know, the guys that are my age, Jeff, you know, they don't really bother me all that much. All the fight's kind of taken out of them by and large part. But it's the younger folks, unfortunately, that are, you know, getting involved in some really heinous activity. And so if you breach either one of those that we just talked about, proving that you're in a gang during the commission of that, or if you have a firearm that benefits the gang in the underlying offense, and you're 16 years of age or older, there's what we call an automatic transfer. So currently, a juvenile would work their way through the juvenile system, and a judge in various cases would say, hey, now we've heard the matter, and we're going to transfer you to adult court. There are a few items or a few crimes already in Alabama law where a juvenile can be charged automatically as an adult, and we've seen that recently, unfortunately, over here at Dadeville. And this would just add that if you violate any section of this new proposed law, that it would be an automatic transfer to be charged in as an adult.
When you talk about this being done in other states, I mean, do you see a noticeable decrease in gang activity? I mean, I don't think it necessarily would stop it all at once, right? But is the goal here just to kind of chip away at the problem?
Yeah, I think, listen, I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning and says necessarily, boy, they've just changed the law today and I'm not going to go do whatever criminal offense, you know, being a part of a gang, you know, entails. I don't think that happens. But let me tell you, as it relates to at least, you know, folks eluding the police and driving high speeds, you can tell there are jurisdictions that do not chase, you know, individuals who have alleged to have committed a crime. And then when they, but other jurisdictions do, and you can see a difference in the number of chases or the number of folks who are trying to get away from law enforcement. I make that point simply to say it'll take a while for word to get out. But word does get out that, hey, the state of Alabama is serious about these gang offenses, that, you know, you're committing crimes to benefit a gang. And I think eventually it will work its way into the fabric of the community around the state, and I think we'll see a decrease. That's certainly the goal.
Last question, Senator. We'll get you out of here on this. The divisive concepts bill you and Ed Oliver are partnering on, is that you think you got it in a place that it's going to happen this time around, that it's started in the House, and you think you get it done this session?
Certainly hopeful. I haven't actually filed the Senate companion of that yet. I've gotten some really good feedback from my colleagues in the Senate. Now, Representative Oliver has worked really hard the past 2 years on the bill. They actually got that bill out of the House last year. We got it through a Senate committee, and then kind of time just kind of ran out on us in the session. I'm hopeful that that we'll have a different outcome this time. Again, it's one of those that, you know, people say, well, you're trying to, you know, put teachers in a position where they can't teach history. That's absolutely not the case. The bill, as a matter of fact, has specific language in there that does not preclude, and nor would I support it if it did, that the history needs to be taught in a factually accurate manner. It could be, should be, and you know, so that doesn't touch on that. Just it lists 9 divisive concepts that I think we can all agree on, that you know, that we shouldn't try to make one race or sex feel inferior to the other. You know, again, I use other states to say, you know, there's some really blue states out there that have adopted similar language, and certainly time for Alabama to do that.
Well, and would we see necessarily, especially with state agencies, the rollback of some of this DEI, some of the offices? I mean, is that a part of it? How far does it go?
Great question. And no, I think that we don't really get all the way into the DEI. I suspect that you may have some other bills that come up and more directly address that. It on the peripherally, it kind of touches on that. But I think there'll be some other legislation that'll be coming up that may touch on that. So I hear anyway.
Senator, we're a little long here, but we definitely appreciate your time, and best of luck to you the rest of the session. Hopefully we can talk again soon.
Looking forward to it, Jeff. I always enjoy it, and appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you as well. State Senator Will Barfoot there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.